All right, let's see here. Okay, tell me your favorite verse on the holiness of God while we're waiting for a handout. Tell me your favorite verse on the holiness of God. I'm glad to have all this quick participation. Gary.
Revelation
4:8. Okay. Tell me why. I need one too. There's supposed to be an answer key that I get. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start on the attributes of God. God is holy. And you're going to take this as a quiz. So each answer will give you like 5 seconds to answer the question. And then we'll give you the answer, and then you can grade your paper. Okay? Okay, number one, the beings in heaven are continually and forever praising and declaring God's holiness, saying, you're supposed to answer the quiz. And then in 2 New Testament references, if you're listening to Gary, you... got a clue. Yeah, one's New Testament, one's Old Testament. Did I say 2 New Testaments? Okay, the answer is, they're saying, holy, holy, holy. What's the New Testament reference? Revelation 4:8. What's the Old Testament reference? Okay, Isaiah 6:3 or 1-3. Now, why do you think they're saying holy, holy, holy? Why don't they say holy, 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 holy? Or why don't they say holy, 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 holy? That refers to the Trinity. If you would ask a scholar, they would tell you, you can't say that. I'm just telling you what the scholars are going to say. Okay, number two. The holiness of God is called beautiful in, there's the reference, and the holiness of God is called glorious in what reference? Okay, the first answer is 1 Chronicles 16:29. Who wants to read that verse? Okay, we'll let somebody read that verse. Okay, I'll choose somebody. Right? You can read that in a minute, Thomas. And then His Holiness is called glorious in Exodus 15:1. DJ, you read that one. 15:11, I said, right? 11:15. I said 15:1? Oh, maybe I should go back to bed. Exodus 15:11. All right, who has it first? Read it, please.
Worship the Lord that you be holy.
Is this 15:11? Or 15:11?
Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious among the gods? Fearful in praises, doing wonders.
Great. What does the word glorious mean? It's a root word. Heavy. The military man here ought to know that, Captain. Heavy means heavy because the weight of the medals on their uniform were so many. Glorious. Okay? God's holiness is considered to be so great and the highest of his attributes in that he swears by his holiness. Give the reference. Don't say it. It's a quiz. If you said it out loud, you have to take back your words. Okay, Psalm 89:35. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. Okay, next one. There's a lot of different possibilities on this one. God's name is holy. God's name is holy. Okay, give me one of the references. Psalm 145:29, 21. Okay, give me another answer. Say it a little bit louder. Amos 4:2. Any others? Okay, well, there's a lot of verses on God's name is holy. Okay, let's go to the next one. The place where God abides is holy. Well, it wasn't supposed to give you the answer, was it? And is to be kept free from defilement and is set apart for his exclusive use. The place where God abides is holy. There's lots of verses that we could give there. All right, give me one. Psalm 48, verse 1. That's one of them. Exactly. 47, 8. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. 48, 1. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. All right. Number 6. God's holiness is the basis of right and wrong. Give the reference. Well, we'll put the two together. And is the basis of God's laws. Okay? Basis of God's laws, Leviticus 19:2. Leviticus 19:2. The basis of God's laws is God's holiness. Speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man and his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Okay? New Testament reference.
1 Peter
1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. All right? Great verse tells us what is the issue of having fellowship with God. Walking in his light. Number 7, God's holiness demanded Christ to come and pay the penalty so God could be just in giving salvation to those who believe in Christ. I gave you half the answer. What is it? Romans 3:26. God is just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Okay? So, I realize that we've gone over these verses before, but the purpose is to get those truths in our mind. Now, you got to do some work at this. You know that? You can't come to Sunday school and sit like a bump on the log and just try to figure that this stuff is going to come by pew-itis. Pew-itis? P-E-W-I-T-I-S. Pew-itis. Okay? Doesn't come by pew-itis. All right? It comes by W-O-R-K. Okay? Those two words are spelled differently. Yes. That's right. Okay? Now, why should we have God's Word in the tip of our mind? Well, because the truth has to be at the top of our mind. And it only gets there by us putting it there. I was talking to a fellow who was in a rehab situation, and I, you know, and I said, yep, all week, all this time, what's been happening is you've been in a place where you're free from temptation, and number two, all day long, they had been filling your mind with truth. Those are the two basic principles of any rehab facility. Is take getting a person out of the atmosphere of temptation and filling their mind with truth. Why? Number one is because our minds aren't filled with truth. And when we sin, it's because, always it's because we aren't thinking correctly. And it's always because we believe the lie of the devil. It's always why we sin. It's always why we sin, because we believe the lie of the devil. And so in order to do right, we have to have in the top of our mind, at the front of our mind, we have to have truth. So that what is that which we automatically think? Truth. Make sense? We have to have truth at the front of our mind. It means it's readily available. Okay? You know, in life, we don't have time, typically, we don't have time to take 20 minutes and dig it up out of the bottom of the brain. You know what I'm saying? I don't know exactly how it works, but boy, for some of us, there's a lot of stuff in between there that's clogging the way. So we have to have truth at the front of our mind, and it only gets there by work. Okay? So, and... you know, if there's anybody who should know truth, I know who it is. It should be the kids. Well, they should know truth. But who's supposed to be teaching truth all day long in the home? Parents. Okay? So, We really need to work at that. We need to work at what I would call spiritual anemia, the unwillingness to work at getting truth in our lives. Okay? And I realize that there are a lot of other things in life that make life comfortable, you know, and it's really important, you know, like whatever, all these things that we think are really important but are really very unimportant. We really need to work at getting truth in the front of our mind, okay? And so I hope that you will take the challenge to really say, well, I need to get these verses. And, you know, this is just testimony. To me, there's two things. Typically, you have to get truth. You have to put it in there at least 7 or 8 times before it kind of sticks, unless you're smarter than me. You might be smarter. There might be a lot of people here that have a higher IQ of me. That wouldn't be too surprising. But, you know, I got to put it in there 7 or 8 times. And then I got it. Okay? But until then, I have it for a few seconds or a few days, and then it's gone. So we have to work at these things. All right, so we're going to look at something we looked at before, but we're going to do the same thing. We're going to look at the eternity of God. And we're going to try to get verses and retain these verses in our mind. And so that, you know, this is not something that, okay, 5 years from now we say, you know what, we did have a study on the attributes of God, and that was really good. I'm glad we did, and it was kind of enlightening. But I forgot everything I studied, or, you know, especially if you're practicing pew-itis, you know, by next Sunday you probably have forgotten everything that we talked about, right? And so we have to practice work-itis, okay, if we're going to have the truth affect our lives, okay? So let's talk about God's eternality, okay? First thing we're going to do is we're going to fill in some blanks on the verses. And so let's look at these verses at the bottom of the page. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 40. Are you there? Verse number 39. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. I live forever. Can you comprehend that? How many could honestly say, I really comprehend that? You know, because God is on a far different level than we are, aren't we? And what do we have today? You know, here's the fact. The sad thing is, in the world today, sad to say, but it's even so, you know, man is so proud that he figures if he can't figure out who God is, then he isn't there. I mean, isn't that kind of like the bottom line? If man can't figure out God, well, then he must not exist. And you think about that, the highest rate of atheists in the country are the people with the highest degrees. Why? Because they think that with their brain, they can figure things out. Now, you know what? You know what I call that? I call that uneducation. You know why I call that uneducation? Because anybody who has that degree, high degree, they should know, they should be convinced and know for the fact that there is so much truth out there that man has no idea what it is. I was always taught, the more education you get, the more you realize you don't know. But education today, it does the opposite. It fills men with pride and makes them think that they know everything. You know, and that's really what, that is amazing. But try to think about this. I live forever? I can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend that. It's just beyond my thinking. Now, that's what a great verse. Okay, Psalm 90 and verse 2. This is a well-known verse. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, in our minds, you know, I tell you how my mind thinks. In my mind, you know, we got this little blip of time. You know, got this little blip of time. And then God created the heavens and the earth. You know what I mean? And, but that's not what the Bible says, is it? It speaks of everlasting. And everlasting. That makes us kind of a minuscule part of that big plan, doesn't it? I mean, you know what I'm saying? From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalm 102. Now I gotta mention something here. 102 verse 27. Verse 25, of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Wow. Thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. You know, it's good for us to kind of stop. I know it's good for me. It's kind of good for us to stop and think of who God is. You know, we all get too big for our britches, don't we? And we need to stop and think about who God is. Now, as we think of this great truth, they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture thou shalt change them. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years have no end. Now, you know, this is found in the book of Psalms, right? Now, I'm just going to be a little bit facetious here. You know, this is in the book of Psalms. And you know, those Old Testament people, You know, they really, I mean, they were under the law. And, you know, they didn't even have a clue about who God was. You know, you might as well take that Old Testament and just forget that thing. I mean, we got the New Testament. You know what I'm saying? And don't get caught up into, you know, this Old Testament stuff. Whoa. You want to go somewhere where they're talking about who God is? Isn't it amazing when you think about it? A lot of those references are where? In the Old Testament, aren't they? And a lot of these great truths are found where? Like here, the book of Psalms. David. I mean, you know, when people start talking how pious we, how great we are today, and yet we live in a dispensation of grace, and we ought to be far above Old Testament saints. We ought to be. But the reality is, in my opinion, New Testament Christianity is below Old Testament, a lot of the Old Testament saints in some areas. And you go to the book of Psalms, boy, these people knew God, didn't they? They knew God. And again, we have succumbed to evolutionary thinking that somehow today we are so much more, you know, brighter and spiritual than even Old Testament people. Yeah, we are in dispensation of grace and we ought to be up here, but I think in reality we're kind of down here. That doesn't say too well, does it? But just think about, where do we find these great truths? Okay, that wasn't a part of the lesson, but you got it. Okay, Psalm Genesis 21, 33. Genesis 21, verse 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. The everlasting God. All right, Romans chapter 1. So as Abraham worshiped God, one of his attributes was that was on his mind was that he was the everlasting God. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, how does man try to obliterate the eternalness of God as they look at creation? They just out of the sky add a few billion years or a few hundred billion years. You know, they used to add hundreds of thousands of years. And then they realized that it was so preposterous, they had to start adding millions of years, you know. And now they realize that's so preposterous, they got to add, add billions of years. And then they realized that was so preposterous, they had to add hundreds of billions of years. You know what I'm saying? Why and what? Because they're rejecting the message. What? that this is that creation is just a little blip, and God is infinite, eternal. And His eternality is His infinity, infinity in relation to time. Okay, one more verse, 1 Timothy 1:17. Well, obviously, there's many other verses. So what we're going to do next week is we'll have you fill in the blanks. Either you will have you fill in the verse. We'll give you the reference and fill in the verse, or we may have you have the verse and then have you fill in the reference, or we might have you fill in both. Okay? So we only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses. Boy, that's a whiz, right? Okay, so, and fill in the blank. Can you imagine that? Not even an essay question. Okay, 1 Timothy 1:17. Okay, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Okay? The King eternal. And a great reference again, speaking of God and His eternality, His character, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Okay, we'll try to fill in some blanks on top quickly, about 1 minute left. God's nature is without beginning or end. God's nature, number one, is without beginning or end. Number two, God's nature is free from all succession of time. You know, we think this comes first, that comes second, that comes third. Well, that's us. Because we are created in time. God is created outside of time. That's kind of hard to figure out, isn't it? Number three, God's nature contains in itself the cause of time. In other words, God caused time. Can you imagine, can you think outside of time? Can you think outside of time? I can't. But God is the one who caused time. Number four, eternity is infinity in relation to time. Number five, God's nature is not subject to the laws of time. He sees past and future as vividly as He sees the present. Past, present, and future are one eternal now. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Past, present, and future is one eternal now. Dr. Howard had, remember he, my professor at Maranatha, I had never heard him preach this message, but he said, you know, in God's timetable, there's only one time. Now. And when you think of this, well, that's theological thinking, isn't it? There's no past, present, and future in God's realm. Everything is an eternal now. Okay, well, those are some things for us to think about and chew on it. And so next week, guess what? We'll have another quiz. But we're going to throw some holiness of God attributes on there on the quiz. So keep your paper and keep studying. Okay? Now here's the question. This would be a good question, okay? I have to see how we work, okay? Let's see who studies more. Let's see who puts more effort into this. I'm not trying to be Obama here and be divisive, okay? But let's see who puts more effort into this, men or women. Let's see who's going to just kind of play neutral or who's going to be serious. Now, I'm not trying to down women because, you know what? You know, it's right that they should want to study the Bible. Okay? So I'm not downing that 1 ounce. Okay? But certainly, if there's somebody whose role is a responsibility to be a student of the Bible, who would that be? Huh? Men. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, pray that you bless the truths and the Word of God in our lives, and pray that you would stir our souls, Lord, to learn the Word of God and to learn it even in this elemental basis so that you, Lord, your Spirit can have a beginning to begin to mold our thinking and our lives by the truth of your Word. We pray you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen.